Turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, and we'll begin reading with verse 22 going through verse 33. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of casein, also according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make for these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compound according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting with and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, according to its compound or composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on the outsider, shall be cut off from his people."
Amen. Thank you, Ron. We'll be looking at these verses tonight about a holy anointing oil. So this morning, Pastor Jordan preached from Exodus chapter 29, and we saw part of the ceremony that Aaron and his sons would have to go through in order to serve as priests. There were special clothing, there was a bull and some rams. And I want you to turn back real quick to Exodus 29, verse 7. And in Exodus 29, verse 7, we see the mention of the oil. It reads, "And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head," him being Aaron, "and anoint him." So tonight we're going to talk about what that oil is, and we're going to explore what we can learn from it. So we're going to look at three things: what the oil is made of, how the oil is to be used. I'm going to try to not say oil. It's oil. If I start saying oil, just kind of look up at me. So what is this oil made of? How is this oil used? And how not to use the oil? Okay, so that's what we're going to do, and I hope to connect it to our lives today as well. So let's jump in with verses 22 through 25. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he's telling Moses how to make the oil. Excuse me. So this is made from five things. You've got myrrh, cinnamon, cane, cassia, and olive oil. So all those things are available where they were, except for cane, which had to be imported. And they mixed it together, 500 shekels of this, 250 of that, a gallon of olive oil, and it made the holy anointing oil. So notice verse 25. "And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil." What do you see two times in this verse, at the beginning and the end? Holy anointing oil. So we learn that this oil is holy, which means it is set apart. It is not common. It's not for common use. It is set apart for a special use. It belongs to God. It is God's oil. All right, in fact, in these 11 verses, we see the word holy 11 times when you read in the Hebrew. So we'll read words later like consecrate. That's simply make holy. Even the word sanctuary in Hebrew is holy place. And so in 11 verses, we have the word holy appearing 11 times. That's not an accident. When God wrote the Bible, when Moses wrote it and God was inspiring him, every word has a purpose. There is no randomness. There is no coincidence. It all has a purpose. And I think we're seeing the word holy 11 times in 11 verses to emphasize this oil is God's. It belongs to God. He is graciously giving the Israelites a holy gift so that they can serve him. All right. Any questions? Let's jump in. We're going to look at verses 26 to 30, and I'd like to read these. So the oil, we've learned what the oil is made of. We're going to see how they're to use the oil now. Verse 26, with it, that's the oil, you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them or make them holy, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them or make them holy, that they may minister to me as priests. All right, so they are to do two things with this oil. They are to anoint the tabernacle and everything in it and anoint Aaron and his sons as priests. So the tabernacle and everything, all the utensils, the ark, the laver, the wash basin, everything got the oil. Now in verse 29, why does it to get the oil? What was the point of anointing the tabernacle and everything in it with this oil? Yep, that they may be most holy. So God, with this oil, was telling people, this is now mine. This space and this furniture, this spoon, this lampstand, this ark is now mine. It is set apart. It is not for common use. It is not for anyone to walk up and touch or play with. It is reserved for God and his people. All right. The next thing we see is that God was to anoint Aaron and his sons. And in verse 29 again, we see that, verse 30, we see that they're anointed so that they may minister to me as priests. And so just like the tabernacle and all of its stuff was anointed with this oil, so Aaron and his sons had to be anointed so that they could serve as priests. No oil, no service. If you don't have the oil, you don't get to go on the tabernacle. This oil was setting apart these people for this special service. So we could say that God used his oil to set apart his things and his people for his service. And the whole point was for God to claim, these are mine. Receiving this oil was a big deal. It was not to be taken lightly. When you're a priest, you have great privileges. You can serve in the tabernacle. If you're the high priest, you can go into the Holy of Holies one day a year. At the same time, there's responsibilities. And we're going to look at some of those here in just a moment. Receiving this oil sets you apart for the rest of your life. There was no going back. You couldn't say 10 years later, thanks God, I don't want to be a priest anymore. You were set apart. It was a done deal. And we're going to see that Aaron actually was constrained after he got this oil. All right, I want to look at Leviticus chapter 10. So I have a Bible drill. Leviticus chapter 10, and I want to show you a time when Aaron was constrained because he had the oil. So this is after Aaron and his sons have been set apart. This is after they have begun to act as priests. Everything's ready. Everything's going great until Leviticus chapter 10. So I'm going to start in verse 1. Frankie, will you read verses 1 through 3?
So Aaron, therefore, kept silent.
Thank you. So Aaron's sons, serving as priests, disobeyed God. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of what exactly they did, but suffice it to say, they disobeyed God, they dishonored God, and God killed them for it. Let's read verses 4 through 5 and see what happens next. Let's see. Sheila, will you read verses 4 through 5? Thank you. So Aaron's sons die, and he doesn't carry them outside the camp. He doesn't get to go near and to be there with his children after they pass. He doesn't get to carry them and be a part of any ceremony, be a part of any funeral, if you will. He has to have his cousins do it. Now let's read verses 6 through 7 and find out why. Paul Helton, will you read verses 6 through 7? What is the reason Aaron couldn't go out? The oil was on his head. He had received the oil. He had been set apart. It sounded like a great thing when it happened, I bet. He got to be priest, the high priest. This is so cool. But there are also consequences to that. Aaron now belonged to God in a way that no other Israelite did. He was set apart once and for all to God's service and God's ownership, which meant when the rest of the Israelites were mourning for his sons, Aaron could not. When the rest of the Israelites were coming to give condolences, I imagine, to wives, children, aunts and uncles, Aaron could not. When the rest of them were carrying the bodies outside the camp, Aaron stayed at the tabernacle. And the reason is he received the holy anointing oil. We see there are great privileges and also great responsibilities when you receive this oil. It changes you forever. It changed Aaron and his sons for the rest of their lives. Any questions on that? All right, so we see that God used his oil to set apart his people to his service. And there are privileges with that, and there are responsibilities with that as well. Let's turn back to Exodus 30. So we've seen what this oil is made of. You got the five things. We've seen what this oil was used for, to set apart the tabernacle and the priests unto God. Now we're going to see what not to do with the oil. And we're going to look at verses 31 through 33. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. So God's oil had two rules. Number one, you can't pour it on just anybody. This was reserved for the priests. So you're going on date night, you want to make yourself smell nice, you can't use this oil. Or the kids are just stank, and you just want to pour it on there to get the stink off, you can't use that. This oil is reserved for the priests alone. So number one, you cannot use it on just anybody. Number two, you can't make it. So God gave them this divine recipe, if you will, how to make this oil, and he told them, you can't make it for yourselves. You can't make it and store it up somewhere. You can't make it and sell it to heathens. You can't make money off of it. This was a holy, special oil that belonged to God and was going to be used according to God's instructions. And if anyone made it, if anyone misused it by pouring it on someone who was common, they were to be cut off from their people in verse 33. Whether that means banishment, where the Israelite had to leave the camp forever, or whether it means capital punishment, it was a really big punishment to misuse this oil. And so the question I have to ask, it's oil. Why is it such a big deal if I pour it on my kid or if I keep some in the kitchen? Why is it such a big deal? And the answer is, it belongs to God. And misusing this oil is disrespecting God. And using this oil in a way that he has not wanted you is really diminishing his glory. You're saying, I don't care what you say, God. I like this. It was a big deal because it was God's oil, and disrespecting the oil is disrespecting the God who made you. All right, I want to show you guys something, if I can get this to work. All right, I want you to look at verses 32 and 33. I'm going to bring this up. And we see a structure here called a chiasm. I don't know if you guys can see it over there. I'll try to help you out here. All right. We see, oh, that's awesome. Thank you, James. All right. So what we see here is we see some repetition, okay? But it's not repeated right after another. It's repeated at the end. So A, the first thing we see, it shall not be poured on man's flesh. Don't pour it on a commoner. And what's the last thing we see? Whoever puts any of it on, so that's like the same thing. And B, nor shall you make it. And then we see again, whoever compounds any like it. So we have these matching statements, and in the middle, it is holy. Do you guys see that? Okay, this is a common structure in Scripture. It's called a chiasm. And when you see these kind of bookends here, what's being emphasized is in the middle. And in our case, in verses 32 and 33, what's being emphasized is this oil is holy. So the whole point of this passage right here is that this oil is holy. Don't misuse it. You'll die. Don't make it for yourself, because you'll die, because it belongs to God, not you. Does that make sense?
It's like a patent.
It's kind of like a patent. You could say that.
Hey, John, mm-hmm. That guy in the bookends and in the middle, mm-hmm. Jesus was in the middle of two things when he was crucified.
Yeah, he was. Yep. So we see this structure a lot. When you're reading your Bible, you can look for it, and it's really helpful to understand. All right, any questions on chiasms? Debbie? Oh, C-H-I-A-S-M. I have no idea why they spell it that way, but that's how they spell it. Yeah, I would argue that it is not used in religious ceremony today. And I would say there's no temple, there's no priests, there's nothing. Like, after the temple was destroyed in AD 70, I imagine that was the end of that. And even if they wanted to bring it back, I would say that they would be wrong to do so. I guess they being the Jewish people, or anyone else for that matter. So this oil had a place. This oil had a place and a time, and that time has passed. So please do not go home and make the oil. I warned you. It's not on me. It's on you if you do that. Don't be finding cassia from Babylon to come make your oil. All right. But we still have something that we can learn from the oil. So remember, God used his oil to set apart his people for his service. God's oil, God's people, God's service. So how do we bridge the gap from Exodus chapter 30 to Hickory in 2022? Why does any of this matter? Well, I would argue that God doesn't use oil to set apart his people anymore. God uses his Holy Spirit. And now, God uses his Holy Spirit to set apart his people, Christians, for his service. And so instead of oil on our heads, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And it is a much better anointing. And just like Aaron, when we are anointed with this Holy Spirit, we have privileges and responsibilities. And I'd like to look at those. What are our privileges and responsibilities today as bearers of the Holy Spirit, as carrying this special anointing with us all the time? Isn't that great news? The Holy Spirit lives in you, Christian, 24/7. No breaks, no vacations. He's there in you. I think it's wonderful. So we know that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus' baptism? It was really cool. I'm starting to talk like I'm talking to kids. It was really cool. So Jesus was baptized. God the Father spoke from heaven. And the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And the Holy Spirit helped Jesus from that day on. Do you guys remember, right after Jesus was baptized, where did Jesus go? Who led him there? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helped Jesus the rest of his ministry on earth. In the same way, we also, Christians, are anointed with the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to show you some responsibilities we bear because we are housing the Holy Spirit, if you will. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to look at some responsibilities we have today, tomorrow, this week, because God has used his Holy Spirit to set us apart to his service. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, that doesn't count for you. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the responsibilities in verses 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Denny, will you read 18 through 20 for us? Thank you, Denny. So in this letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Corinth, place in Greece, in this chapter he was arguing and trying to get them to realize, don't practice sexual immorality. And one of the reasons he gives, maybe the main reason, is because they are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so they have been anointed with this anointing. They've been set apart. They no longer belong to themselves but to God. And the ground of that is the Holy Spirit in them. The reason that sins like sexual immorality, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and gluttony are doubly serious is because they are sins both against God and against God's temple, i.e. our bodies. We have been set apart. Our bodies do not belong to us anymore. I don't know if you knew that when you signed up, but here we are. Our bodies belong to God now. And so we have to take that seriously. We are not allowed to use them however we want, recklessly and selfishly pursuing pleasure. So a question to ponder is, do you abuse your body for your own pleasure? The question I've been asking myself this past couple weeks, do I abuse my body for my own pleasure? Do I eat more than I should because it feels good? Do I stay up too late at night because I want to watch TV or whatever people do late at night? I don't stay late at night. Ask my wife. But some of you might. So a question to ponder is, are you using your body as your own or as God's? Our bodies are now to be made for His glory. So maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, John, I've got this down. I work out 5 times a week. I only eat broccoli and asparagus. I'm doing great. Well, praise the Lord. That's great. I should be more like you. The other side of the coin, the other ditch we can fall in, if you will, is instead of abusing our bodies for our own pleasure, we can discipline our bodies for our own glory. So our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. They're meant to point to God. But there is a danger when we give ourselves to dieting or exercising or dressing in a certain way, all with the goal of gaining attention or respect for ourselves. Now, let's be careful. I'm not saying if you wear a tie, you're sinning, because you're not. And I'm not saying if you exercise and diet, you're sinning, because you're not. Only you know your heart, and God does. But I would caution you, if you are either ignoring your health and pursuing pleasure, or if you are disciplining yourself for your own glory. Those are two sides of the same coin. So what changes would you need to make, or not, as the case may be, in order to glorify God with your body? Now, I'm not saying if you eat a cookie, you're sinning. Can I be clear? So don't go, if you eat something other than broccoli and asparagus, it's okay. Now, I am saying if you sit down and eat 15 cookies, well, you're sinning against the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you're ignoring your anointing. So let's use our bodies to glorify God. Now, not only our bodies, but our lives belong to God, right? When we believed on Jesus, the way I say it to the kids is, you make Jesus your boss. You live life His way. When you're making decisions, and I don't mean, you know, am I going to put a red shirt or a blue shirt on, but when you're making big decisions like a house or a vehicle, a spouse, a job, if you're going to move, where does God's glory come into your decision making? Are you asking yourself, will this choice reflect the beauty and the glory and the worth of God? Or will it reflect a treasure on earth? So again, our lives are not our own. We have been anointed and set apart. And God gets to be the decision maker for us. Are there any questions in those three things when it comes to our bodies or our lives? It's really hard. It's going to take a lifetime. All right, those are some responsibilities. Let's talk about the privileges. Let's talk about the good part. When Jesus came to earth, He came as Emmanuel, God with us. It was a wonderful time. People could hear God the Son. They could see God the Son. They could eat with God the Son and walk with God the Son. But I think today we have something even better. Instead of God with us, we have God in us. Do you guys remember the story in Mark? It's in Mark chapter 5. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And she had spent all her money on doctors, and they couldn't help her. Nothing was working. But then she heard that Jesus was coming through. And she knew, she had faith, that if she could touch Jesus' cloak, she would be healed. So what did she do? She got up. There was a giant crowd around Jesus. She had to fight her way through. I imagine she's eating elbows and knees and everything else to try and reach Jesus just to get a touch. And she did. And she was healed. Praise the Lord. How about the story in Mark chapter 2 with the paralyzed man and his four friends? They show up to where Jesus is. They have their paralyzed man on a cot, and they're kind of carrying him. You know, their goal is if we can get this man to Jesus, he'll be healed. And so they work their way through the crowd. They're elbowing, they're kicking, they're pushing, but they can't get there. There's too many people. They can't get to Jesus. So you guys know the story. Instead, they get really desperate. They climb up on a roof, they cut a hole in the roof, and they lower their friend down using ropes, and they finally got their friend to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to work to push through a crowd to get to God, because God's in us. We don't have to be like Zacchaeus, who would climb up a tree just to get a glimpse of God. So God is closer to you than your nose is. Praise be to God. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the God who made everything, who sustains everything, who knows all knowledge and mysteries, who has all power, can work miracles. He's in you. What an encouragement. Are you going through a hard time? Do you need comfort? The Comforter is in you. Do you need power to fight against temptation? The Spirit of power is in you. Do you need wisdom? Do you have a hard decision you have to make? The Spirit of wisdom is in you. Do you need prayer? The Spirit which intercedes for us to God the Father is in you. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going through, and He has all the power to help you. And you never have to walk a step to get to Him. He can give everything you need, and He is in you every day of your life. Can you be encouraged? Does that give you hope to fight? Does that give you perseverance to make it, knowing that God in you is everything you need? Praise be to God for His inexpressible gift. God in us. Amen. We've received a special anointing. One more privilege we have is we get to carry God's presence everywhere we go. So when you go to work tomorrow, you're going to carry God's presence with you to work. When you go to Walmart or Target or Food Lion, whatever it is you go to, you're taking God's presence with you. What a privilege. Everywhere you go, you are bringing God's presence to people you meet. When James and Anna go to the hospital on Wednesday, they're going to bring God's presence to Baptist. We have the great and glorious privilege of bearing God to everyone we meet, of being a priest like Aaron, except we're not stuck in the tabernacle. God goes with us, and we can go out to those that need to hear, those that need to see, and we can shine, or better yet, we can let God shine through us. What a privilege. Everything we need, everything the world needs, it's right here. And it's not us, it's God in us. So we've seen responsibilities, we've seen privileges. Are there any questions for a Christian today? What that means, what that looks like? Denny?
I have a question.
Oh, thank you. That was like 15 questions. So here we go. Is there holy water? No, there is no holy water. That's not a thing. All right. The oil. Yeah, you got to delete that. James chapter 5 mentions, if anyone's sick, let the elders pray over him, anoint his head with oil, or is it anoint him with oil, one or the other. That oil, I believe, is not any kind of special concoction. It's not go back and make this and then do. I think any kind of oil, they probably used olive oil, I would imagine. And so the power is not in the oil, the power is in the prayers, and really in the God who they're praying to. Does that make sense? Okay. So holy water, oil, is there something else, brother? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I certainly encourage praying. That's something we used to do too. We would pray over every room. Yeah, so we read of oil being used in various places in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Just to be clear, let's say when Samuel and 1 Samuel, is it 15 or 16? He goes and it's 16. He goes and anoints David to be the next king. He did not use the holy anointing oil as described here. Okay, that was just your standard oil they bought at Walmart, wherever they went that day. So the holy anointing oil was just for the priests, no one else. So when you read oil in the Bible, don't assume it's the same oil we talked about tonight. Yeah, thank you, Denny. Okay. Well, that's great. Praise the Lord. He knew what he was doing. Yeah, if that's what you're asking, it's okay to use those ingredients. Just don't put them in that proportion and mix it up in order to make the holy anointing oil. So we're certainly welcome to use cinnamon and such. I don't think so, and I would say because the only people that got it were the priests one time. That wasn't like every Tuesday, let's go anoint you. It was just one time to be set apart forever. I think, if I remember right, that was nard, whatever in the world nard is. I just remember the word nard. I think that, Sarah asked about when Jesus was reclining at the table and eating, and Mary came and anointed Jesus' feet with a very expensive oil. I remember Judas got mad because he was greedy. So what's going on there? Was Jesus being anointed as a priest? I think what was happening was Jesus was being anointed for his burial. And that's often what you would use after someone had passed, I believe. And so I think that had more to do with his upcoming death and less to do with any priestly service. Anyone else? Praise God. God answered that prayer. Amen. Verna May said that she's thankful that we prayed for her when she had her operation, and she's here. I assume it went well. So praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you. We're glad you're here. All right, we have time for one more question, then I have to run to the fifth and sixth graders. I'm having them over to my house. Yeah, good times. Or we could stay here all night. Anybody want to stay here all night? Keep digging. There's more to go. I'm just kidding. Oh, that's my responsibility, is to host 20 fifth and sixth graders at my house and watch 5 minutes of the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's right. Well, Phil already got me on that, so hopefully I will not eat too many snacks. Well, will you stand? I'd like to pray and dismiss you with a benediction. God, thank you for your anointing that you have given us. We didn't deserve it or earn it, but we are thankful for it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which lives inside us. I pray that you would give us courage and peace and wisdom and strength through him. I pray that we would not forget that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.